CIPR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening and please be kind to robots.
I'm just thinking about that.
I know, it's pretty rad.
For more information, visit CIPR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening and please be kind to robots.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Well, you've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM with host Caroline McGillivray and the lovely, lovely Julia Saunders, who is back in the box from a long, long visit away from Guelph, Ontario. Welcome back, darling.
It's been a few weeks. I'm very happy to be back.
And I've missed you a lot. We had a Julia on the show last week, and I loved her very much. She was a wonderful guest, but I'm very grateful to have you back.
Thanks. I missed you, Caroline.
I missed you, too. So while you were away, we had Malaika Millions on the show and the lovely Julia Stretch, and they're talking about the show coming up, Get Your Gay On, which is going to be sometime in July and all about coming out. So I think it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Tonight's show is going to be focusing on the straight, but not necessarily the narrow.
Well, I know that director Martin Giro's all-Canadian movie opened this past weekend, and it's very controversial. It's called Young People Fucking. And this smart and funny film touches on five different tableaus on the relationship platter. Very well written. I like that phrase that you read. According to the Georgia Strait, actually in Vancouver here, Young People Fucking was sucked into the eye of the Bill C-10 controversy. Christian activists, without actually seeing the movie, I think is kind of typical sometimes, nailed it as the type of movie that should not receive Canadian tax credits.
I don't know about that, but
we're going to talk about the movie, so we're going to decide if it was really worth all this controversy. But the title itself is definitely controversial.
Definitely. Young People Fucking. And we will be taking calls, so feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation that we're going to be having at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. We usually don't review movies, but unless they're sexually based.
Which is quite rare, isn't it?
It's very rare, but this one's title definitely caught our attention, and as well as the Christian Christian activists, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think probably anyone seeing it. And I thought it was really interesting when I went to do the research today, i.e. so go see the film. You already saw the film, so
we didn't
get to go see it together, which was unfortunate. But I found it almost impossible to find out where it was playing. And I think it's due to the censorship that's going on with the title. And I went into the movie theater and there was nothing on the billboards. I went up to the lady at the counter and was like, I want this movie, Young People Are Fucking, but I don't see where I can find any information about the film. And she's like, yeah, it's very curious. She's like, it's not doing very well. It's only been open for 3 days, but it's because there's no advertising, which is just bizarre because it's a hilarious comedy. It's worth seeing. You know, French Canada is just eating it up. And I think the Georgia Strait says that Quebec has taken delight in the Anglo-Canadian tizzy. The French Canadian response is they love it because they're like, fuck, English Canada is so uptight. They're all over it, the director says, you know, because it's rated 16A in Quebec, but it's rated 18A everywhere else. And, the Quebecois are taking a lot of personal pride in the fact that they're not as sexually repressed as English Canada. So I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, go, very good French Canada, woo, you know. Right on, I love those French Canadians. Anyway, so the movie, Young People Fucking, is actually quite a bit more vanilla than you think that the title is going to be, but we'll talk about it.
I think that's one of the interesting things in terms of it. Definitely.
Yeah, it's really just about sort of what goes on in most people that are, you know, new relationships, old relationships, best friends end up having sex, whatever. You know, it's kind of typical stuff. And so we're going to break it down tonight, aren't we? And we're going to give our top tips on what we think in real life you would do with the issues that were at hand in the movie. So we won't give away too much of the movie, but enough just to make you go and see it because it's worth going to see. It's very funny.
It's a really funny, and it's very good to support Canadian cinema as
That's
well.
That's right.
And especially with the Bill 10 coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very important.
Yeah, we'll talk about Bill C-10 coming up in a bit, probably right after the half-hour break. So
one thing I liked about the movie, as you were mentioning earlier, it's got the five different tableaus in it, and even though, as we're saying, it's more about the straight heterosexual world, I think it touches on every world in a lot of ways, in particular, starting with the first one, which is best friends, where one of the questions we get a lot, and I know you've been doing the show now for 5 years, I've just been doing it for a couple, and I had my column before that, but a lot of times people ask, is it ever a point where you've been spending too much time with someone where you can never really go past that friend stage because, you know, you're kind of cemented in the friendship? I thought it was interesting that they touched on that in the movie where they end up giving each other mercy fuck, these two best friends who've been friends for over 20 years. And
both of them are kind of trying to get over long-term relationship woes, and neither one of them had been laid in a long time, and they were like, look, you need to empty your balls. I need to... And she's just like, come on, you know, enough of this crap. So they basically have, they end up having sex. So that's one of the tableaus is this couple. I think it was so funny, the scene where she's giving him a blowjob and she's looking at him. You know, she's like, she's sucking his cock, she's giving him a blowjob, and she's looking up at him, which is something I'm...
And he's like, oh, you're my best friend with my dick in your mouth.
And it's wigging him out, and it was just so funny. Anyway, so...
There's some really wonderful, funny humor in there, and it just felt really, really real. So even though it's got sex, and they have the different little, almost place cards at the beginning of different sections of the movie, which I liked as well, like foreplay.
Chapters in a book,
and I thought that was really nice, and it just covers all the different elements.
Preclude,
of that.
Foreplay, intercourse. Was it fucking? And then it was like interlude. Then it was orgasm. Then it was afterglow, and there was all these little chapters. So it was very well organized that way.
It was really cute. Wonderful. And one of the nice things too is it touched on erectile dysfunction.
That was a nice thing, eh?
And we felt the good friendship and communication. Yes, definitely, because it does happen.
It does happen. It happens to the best of us, and not just erectile dysfunction, but you know, desire issues with women, you know, not being able to be aroused, losing their wetness or whatever, the sensitivity, not being able to orgasm. So, you know, women, we get to hide our erectile dysfunction.
But we do have it occasionally.
But we do have it occasionally. So I think that, like you're saying, the good friendship that they had helped bridge that.
I think so, because they were able to laugh and joke about it quite a bit, which I think when you're meeting somebody and you don't really know them that well, sometimes that takes a little bit longer to get over when those issues happen. And they do happen. We're all human. The other thing that was nice was the sexy love song that kept popping up, where they kept trying to have sex to rap music and kept searching on the CD player.
They were having these sucky love songs, which I wish we could remember the title because we'd play it on the half-hour break.
I know, we wanted to play it during the break.
I can't remember it,
and
sorry.
And this whole wonderful things. But it was really
it kept
great.
Coming on, and they kept going for the clicker and then getting into the thumping rap music and then getting it on, and it was a very playful scene, or tableau, I guess, as you were calling it.
I like the word tableau.
Fabulous.
Thank you for using it.
But, you know,
Is it ever too late, do you think, Julia, to turn a friendship into a relationship?
I don't know. I mean, in the top tips, we have in real life, you know, how do you fix this situation? And one of the questions that we were talking about was, is it ever too late to bridge into a passionate relationship once you've had years of sex? Years of friendship. Can you do the thing at the bridge into sex? And I think, you know, if you find yourself all of a sudden infatuated with your best friend, you got to go for it. You got to communicate, like, look, my feelings for you aren't what they were, and I don't want to ruin our friendship, but I feel this way about you, and go for it. Or you have to kind of end it, because really, you know, you're on the arm of Mr. or Mrs. Wrong. You're never going to find Mr. or Mrs. Right.
Until you get over the friendship. And if you have a conversation about it, at least it's resolved, which is a good thing. As well as that.
And then, you know what? The awkwardness can be dealt with.
The friendship is strong enough, and hopefully if you've been really good friends for a really long time, that should alleviate itself.
Yeah.
One of our top tips is only use alcohol to help you get there as a last result. Because
last resort.
Well, it does affect your wetness factor if you're a woman. It dries up all that lubrication that you do need, or you
for
like
pleasure.
To use. Exactly.
And for ease of penetration.
And for men, the hardness factor. You don't want to be a willy, wiggly, wiggly.
Only use the booze to help you get there as a last resort. That's what they were doing. They were just downing the shot so that they could get over their awkwardness and being best friends for 20 years and going into this sex thing because they needed to empty the balls, you know? So they were downing the shots and trying to get there. And we don't think that's a good idea. Do we, Caroline?
We don't think it's a good idea at all. Although sometimes I know all of us, including myself, have thought about that before, because that way you can blame it on the booze if it turns out to be really terrible. But we don't advocate it.
And
it's
what
not
was
a good
one
thing.
Of the top tips that you also had that we thought were pretty cute, honey?
We had some cute ones. You had...
I said don't tell each other to shut up. I mean, through that whole vignette, there was a lot of shut up stuff.
You thought she was mean to him, but
I didn't like
what?
It.
Maybe she's read that book that men marry girls who are bitches. Or whatever it's called.
Why do men love bitches?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
So then your idea was...
To check the CD player before you start and make sure it's set up. So if you don't want those sucky love songs, or if you do want them, make sure they're there.
Set it up. And I think with any sex sort of situation, if you're doing a planned one anyway, you're really best off to set the stage. So like get the lighter out for the candles, get the music in the CD player so you can just press play, like, you know, get the condoms out so they're there and available, the lube, whatever. Have everything kind of available.
Man,
and then you don't have to be like, excuse me, as you fumble through and like whatever.
That's a very good tip, actually, is no matter how well you know somebody, always practice safe sex.
Even if you're your best friend,
you know all their history because they've told you all their stories about everybody else they fucked, please practice safe sex. It's very, 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 very important.
The Juice Box Girls. So what was the second tableau that we were going to feature, hun?
The second one was first date.
Oh, that's in Young People Fucking in the movie. Canadian film. Making Whoopi cracks down. Okay.
We decided to establish it down a first date because it was quite an interesting storyline with these guys. Where
it
she's
was a first date with a coworker.
Yes, where he had slept with everybody. He was kind of a player. He'd slept with everybody else in the office. Mm-hmm. And she hadn't slept with him. So she pretended to be something she wasn't. She was pretending to be sweet and innocent, where he ended up getting a little bit more emotionally involved than he expected to.
Yeah, I mean, she wanted to get laid. That was her intention from the get-go. You know, female sexuality in this movie, I think, is very honestly depicted. And some women, you know, they're very sexually, you know, courageous or whatever. And they go after what they want.
Definitely.
Interestingly enough, he was a player, gorgeous guy, had sex with everyone in the office.
Accent.
And he wanted to make it meaningful for him. He was trying to resist, and he sort of brought emotion into the sexual experience throughout it, and it freaked her out and stuff. And they were lying a lot. Both of them were really dishonest with each other. They were both playing games.
I think she was
playing more games than he was. And it was just a very confusing kind of, like, a lot of secrecy, a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a revenge fuck on her behalf, and I don't really know
It was a confusing one where I'd like to see the movie again, just trying to figure out that storyline in terms of that. But the big thing was it was a first date, and there were some top tips in terms of first dates, which are very important. But I do have to add Julia's comment, which is, why didn't she clean her place beforehand?
I wanted to know. She had the most disgusting apartment. It was covered in crap and dirty dishes, and it was just nasty, everything all over the place. And I thought, if she really wanted to get laid, I mean, it was their first date, but she knew he was a player, so she knew that, you know, he'd probably lay her and come into her place or whatever. Why didn't she clean it up? Like, she acted like she was so... Maybe that was part of her innocent act. I don't know. She's like, I wasn't expecting to have anyone come to my... But anyway, I did think...
I usually use those as barriers so they don't come home with me.
Yes.
But
this
wasn't the case in this movie.
I usually just don't trim and prepare myself. The undercarriage stays unprepared, and that way that keeps me safe. But
I find that doesn't make a difference if you're in the moment, so it's better just to just not create a space where a sacred space where it can happen.
Sacred space, thank you. But I did think that this particular tableau of the first date, both of them kind of being the most kind of. What's the right word? Shallow.
Shallow, playing games because they both want to get laid, supposedly, but it sounded like he wanted a lot more emotion to it.
He and I think it did touch on the female perspective, as I was trying to say.
Definitely.
Which can be kind of scary. So if you see this movie, don't make a lot of assumptions. But there was anorgasmia in that. She wasn't able to have orgasms with sex. She admitted that she was thinking that sex was very dirty. It's a disgusting thing to do. She's using men, that man, for sex and stuff. So very interesting. The other thing I really liked about the movie was that the male perspective, I think, is really well captured in this movie, unlike something like Sex and the City, which we love.
Yes, which
we'll
have to talk
about. It's a very female perspective.
Definitely.
We'll talk about that later, but definitely in Young People Fucking, there's a male perspective. It's very well captured, I think, as well.
It's really well captured, and our real life Juicebox top three tips is number one. And we may get some fan mail on this one or scam mail, but basically don't date or fuck people that you work with.
Yeah, honestly.
Unless you're willing to change your career if things don't go well.
Quit your job, get fired from your job.
Pretty much.
You know, sexual harassment, like bullying, exactly.
It's like, I mean, even though we've all had, the secretary boss fantasy, it's one of those ones, just don't go there.
Leave it for the pornography.
Exactly. Or use it for role-playing in the bedroom once you're in an established relationship. Mm-hmm. But don't necessarily go there. And if you do, it's interesting because when we did our show on internet dating, that was one of the reasons why people are internet dating now, because people are scared to date people that they work with because of sexual harassment. The law in Canada is quite severe.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was
interesting. I think there's also, like, with, you know, working with people and dating them or having sex with them, is that there's a real power differential. Like, if you're colleagues that work together, you know, and you're both at a same level of management or something, you can still start to mess with each other. Like, if one of you pisses the other one off and you're at the same level of power in the office, there's ways to screw somebody out of their job, like, really easily. So this is really you've got to not date or fuck people you work with. So with Young People Fucking, there's a lot of the word fuck in this show tonight, my God.
I know, it's got a nice hard C sound to it, which is lovely, like Caroline.
So our real life juice box three tips. That was one. Second one?
The second one is basically don't lie. Just be who you really are.
Yeah.
Be honest with yourself and start with that. Think about what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And
if they don't like you, fuck them. I mean,
no pun
intended. Bad, right? So too bad. If somebody doesn't like you as you really are, then you don't want to be with them anyway, right? You don't want to pretzel yourself into something that you're not. So when you lie or pretend to be different things on the first date, like this in this particular tableau, especially the woman was being very manipulative and trying to pretend to
be
very dumb and just kind of innocent, and she really wasn't, and she kind of lays it on him. So, you know, I think it's really important that that you just try to be who you really are. I mean, I guess in this case, in Young People Fucking, she was just trying to get laid and was trying to play the game that she thought he was wanting her to play to get into bed. So, you know, I mean, maybe if that's what your shtick is and you enjoy messing with people. Mm-hmm. You know. But anyway, I think the biggest lesson
is don't fake orgasms.
Don't fake orgasms.
We've done shows on this before. Listeners, I hope you're really listening to this one. If you are faking your orgasms, you're educating them in how to do things the wrong way. The way, and not necessarily the wrong way, but something that's not happy, and eventually that creates resentment if this ends up going somewhere. So it doesn't matter what stage of the relationship it is, don't fake. Like, just be really honest about it. Don't beat them up and say, you suck because you didn't get me off. But be honest about it and try and explain how. And if it still doesn't work, you know, just try and figure out different ways to help that way. I think it's really important. So we've got the long-term number three for the next tableau is the long-term relationship, the living together couple. They were together for 6 years, and they were experiencing bed death.
So it's not just lesbian bed death. We've heard of this term, lesbian bed death. But in Guelph recently, I was talking about lesbian bed death in the sex therapy training that we were doing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what's this lesbian bed death? What is this? And I was like, well, it's just what happens after long-term relationships, that people get kind of bored and they don't communicate with each other, and they stop having sex. And then they show up at sex therapy, you know, to their relationship counselor or sex therapist to say, hey, you know, I'm feeling like I have no desire and I never want to do it. My partner always wants me to and I just don't. And there's so many different reasons why there's desire disparity in relationships. But, you know, this particular tableau in Young People Fucking, they
have been together for about six years.
Yeah, and they're only 26 years old. They're very young. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's his birthday, and she ends up getting a card from him and not having any sex. And she's sort of wanting more. Her name is Abby. She's the only name I remember because I thought she was so adorable. Obviously, she reminded me of myself. I really projected myself into her. But you know, he's feeling very inadequate sexually. She wants more sex and he won't give it to her. She can't figure out why. So they end up having this conversation and it starts to go on, and it's actually brilliant. I think that their particular conversation is the best one out of all five.
It's one of the most healthy ones, where I think the Juicebox girls would definitely relate to it. Mm-hmm. In terms of, and we'd recommend most of the things that went through there.
Yeah, and I thought it was brilliant. I thought that they were both very courageous, which is something that it takes to be successful in a relationship, is that you have to have a lot of courage. You can't, you know, you can't just sort of hide away and chicken out and hope that a relationship's going to be successful. You have to be strong and courageous and be honest with each other, right? So so they start having this very honest, open relationship talk, and it was really cool. And she's like, you know, you never go down on me and all this stuff. And so the actual picture in the Georgia Strait is a shot of these two, Abby's legs and her little hubby's face grinning up from between them as they attempt to make the oral sex work. And then he tells her that he's inadequate. He feels inadequate as a lover and he's not very good. And she's already kind of hinted at that. And so she has this bright idea. She goes to get a strap-on
sex.
So strap-on for him with a vibrator for her. And, you know, she starts to go on this huge talk about how he's got a G-spot inside of his anus and or his rectum, and that, you know, this is going to get at that and he's really going to like it. And he's just like absolutely floored and just going, oh my God. And it's just like this really intense scene where he's just like, how do you know all this stuff and what the hell? And I mean, you can just read it on his face, right?
But he wants to please her.
So he's so cute. So he's like, okay,
so
fine. He's like, okay, fine. So he like lays on his stomach and she's saying something else to like entice him, and he's about to be anally penetrated. He says, well, I'm not going to be getting any wetter, like, which I thought was just really
cute. I love
cute.
That line.
It was the best line. So,
and then afterwards he switches from being sexually assaulted and violated to feeling that way. And she defends it by saying, you enjoyed it. You came. And she was too close to coming for her to stop and just really listen to him because she was that close. But he really, really liked it. But I think it's a really scary thing for guys about the whole strap-on thing. Not for all guys, but for some guys, it's kind of a scary thing.
I think it was interesting that he
went there.
The director went there around making him feel sexually, like he was expressing his sexual assault and feeling violated, and that she didn't listen and she pushed anyway, and he wanted her to stop. And I think that's really telling. And I hope that anybody in the audience that might have sort of see that and maybe from the other side and be like, oh, okay, yeah. Because for men, that fear of penetration is a very real fear. And
it's
so,
very
if you're
real.
As a woman, maybe men can now understand why women are afraid of being penetrated and afraid of like being raped and why we feel kind of that
vulnerability
that's very real. So, it was a beautiful tableau of the movie.
It was really lovely.
And it's a difficult topic, you know, talking about sex and processing stuff that's really close to your heart like that. It's really a difficult topic. Most of us are very uncomfortable with it.
But it is a key to a long-term relationship. You have to really, I think our message through this whole show, and we'll keep reiterating that, is communication is so key.
Absolutely.
No matter what stage, whether it's your first date or whether or not it's a long-term, you've been together for 6 or 20 years or whatever, that's the communication that has to feel through that at every stage of the relationship.
Yeah. Totally. So see the movie for some ideas on how to broach your issues, because honestly, I think that these two do a really good job. Some of the other tableaus as well, this one particularly. But the real life juice box top three tips on the long-term relationship part.
And if you're feeling bored or inadequate, bored, unsatisfied, whatever, just not happy in your relationships, really talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't
be courageous.
Yeah.
And don't, like I was expressing that example, don't surprise your lover or your partner with like a ton of sex info or a ton of research, a ton of toys that you've already done beforehand. I think communicating as you go, as you discover these things, as you're questioning these things, makes it a lot easier than just dumping it on them and being all like, you know, after 6 years, like, you know, all of a sudden you're like this sex guru who knows a whole hell of a lot more than your partner, and it can feel kind of a bit intimidating.
Definitely. And if you're having a really hard time figuring out where to start, like how to give a great blowjob,
how to give good cunnilingus.
Exactly.
It's not easy.
It's not, but Nina Hartley has some wonderful videos, and you can rent them at Art of Loving or at different places within the city, or you can probably order them online as well.
Cool.
And there's some great sex education videos that, where you can learn these skills or take a workshop. Julie and I will probably have one at some point.
Yes. And it is a skill building. It's not something like you just get born a good lover. You do need to work on your skill building. So
sometimes I think it's interesting in other cultures sometimes where they educate the man and the woman in how to please your partner, and you learned that from an early age through your teens. I think it's really neat. And sometimes I wonder in North America if that may be something that perhaps that would solve a lot of problems if we educated the young.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about sexual
abuse. No, but once you're above the age of consent and you're interested in becoming a good lover, I think that, you know, that's an aspect of sex education that's important and should be available, because really everybody's using porn, and porn is not a good educator. So, you know, honestly, but, you know, I think in this example, and like so many, as I say, just coming from the sex therapy training, and just from my experiences as in this field for so many years now, I think it really wasn't a case of desire disparity or arousal issues. I think it was really a case of miscommunication, not communicating, not being open and honest with each other. So
I agree with you.
This is another typical story a lot of us go through, the bed death, you know. So anyway, some good ideas.
There's some great ideas.
Sex education videos. Try some, you know, get some toys or go to your sex shop together and, you know, or rent a porn that both of you really like, or, you know, one likes the one kind one time, the other one likes the other kind one time, and then maybe try to act it out or like whatever. Yeah. There's so many great ideas. We have such great sex shops everywhere.
Ones.
Or online. You can buy stuff online if you're in a small community. So.
Definitely. Or take a workshop with somebody like Tanya Diamond, for example, and
learning about intimacy.
I think it's a really key thing. It's about time for a break, isn't it?
Yeah, honey.
So we should take a short break. And
you're listening to Juicebox on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Do keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls during this time especially. So call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we will be right back.
You say you want these to be even and you want these to be fair, but you're afraid to get your teeth cut in my pubic hair. If you're lying there expecting me to suck your dick, you're gonna have to give me more than just a token lick. Now you suck.
ribs. They're giving me that single gunalingus kiss. It's on your face that I'm gonna sit. You can wiggle, you can jiggle your tongue to my clit. Don't worry about making me have an orgasm. Just take your time and do it with enthusiasm. I can tell it's making you scared just thinking of it. But you better learn to love it. Now you suck. Suck it hard. Like a gift. Got my microwave photograph heating up my clit. Dinner song, get busy with my booty. Got a couple of flavors, sweet licorice and fruity. I know you said luscious pussy with a cover. I'm aching too, we can't taste each other. There's no slack at all with an unprotected stroke. This ain't no joke. Sisters! Sisters, you got the power. Use it!
You brought a condom, right?
Huh?
I'm unprotected.
Hey, ain't you on the pill?
Oh, that was great and everything, but, you know, I think it's your turn to go down on me.
Oh, I'm tired. I'm tired.
I mean, you're tired.
Come on.
Come on, baby.
Oh,
come on,
no,
baby.
That's
come
awful.
On, baby.
Oh, oh, that
man,
taste.
You
terrible.
Asshole. You shit.
Just...
Kirsty.
And I'm Sheila.
And we're both single moms. We started SPOC UBC, Single Parenting on Campus, an AMS club, with the hope of drawing attention to the additional challenges single parenting students face on our campus. We want to create a space for single parenting students to find resources and support.
Our first meeting will be held on Tuesday, November 6th from 11 to 12:30 at the Women and Gender Studies, WAGS building right next to Brock Hall. We welcome all single parenting students and, of course, allies. And please remember that your children are always welcome.
Please help us spread the word by informing any single parenting students that you know about our group. We're also open to receiving anecdotes or stories from single parent students regarding their time spent at UBC.
Feel free to drop by our meeting on November 6th or send us an email at spoc.ubc@gmail.com. We really look forward to hearing or seeing you.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back.
You are in the box. That's right, Juice Box. Young people fucking is what we're talking about tonight. But first, we have juice berries.
We've got a few juice berries. And we were talking about the art of loving a little earlier. And
love the art of loving. Did they call us?
Actually, Peter Tupper is.
Oh,
doing,
Peter Tupper called us. Okay.
He's doing the history of S&M, and that's going to be Monday, June the 23rd.
Great.
And it's at 7:30 to 9:30. And you can register and you can check out all the. He's one of the coolest workshops that they've got at the Art of Loving. So it's theartofloving.com. And so you can find out all that at artofloving.com. As well as that, we've got Downloading Luscious Vixens, and that is Friday, June the 27th. And that's going to be at the Penthouse Night. nightclub. You can see some of the most spectacular, sexy pole dancing and all sorts of wonderful things. And you just might see a couple of performers you might just know quite nicely. And
might that be Brunette Blonde?
It's going to be Brunette Blonde and Betty Loop, which is a new...
Betty Loop?
Yes.
Is that someone that I know?
Perhaps.
Okay, anyway,
and
go on.
I will be emceeing as well. Caroline from Juicebox will be there, and she will be emceeing, so you get a chance to check that out.
You're such a good MC.
Thank you, darling. Mm-hmm. And as well as that, on the 29th, Future Shapes is going on, and that's going to be at Celebrities, which is a really cool event. They've been having them in London and New York, and it's kind of like trends, you know, gender bender, all
okay.
that type of thing.
Good, cool.
And it's really cool, a lot of young hip music.
Right on.
When I was in Toronto, it's the first time we're doing one in Vancouver, which is really, really exciting. Oh my
Whoa.
Gosh, that
Ooh,
just scared me. I think we have a caller.
Usually that doesn't happen so loud.
No, it doesn't. Do you want to take that? I think I just scared myself.
Hi.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's Peter Tepper calling again.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. It's not artofloving.com, it's artofloving.ca.
Okay, cool. I'm sure people would have found it, but thanks for calling to correct us. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Anyway, you still ahead, honey? So you're saying?
I was just saying in terms of Future Shapes, these types of events are in New York and London, and it's really, really exciting, and it's fun. When I was in Toronto, my brother actually tried to drag me out to one because it was the first time they were doing it in that part of Canada.
Cool.
They were
so
from
it's happening
New York.
Where?
It's happening at Celebrities,
okay.
and it's going to be really, really exciting.
Awesome.
So that's coming up on the 29th, which is quite lovely. But now we're back, and for those of you who are joining us now, we're talking about young people fucking.
Which is a Canadian film. Canadian film that was just released this past weekend. Martin Giro. Martin. But yeah, you're the cool director guy who put this together. It's a fabulous film. It's about making whoopee, and it cracks some people up, but has others calling for a crackdown. So we're going to talk about this with the whole censorship issue. It's a great front page of the Georgia Strait with the Canadian flags like covering their mouths as... some of the problem with the censorship issues in film is perhaps one of the biggest issues going on with film and trying to get funding is that there's this little tiny Bill C-10 in there that says, you know, if the majority has issues with this or whatever, that we're not going to, you know, fund you. And so it's a really sneaky way to censor. I think Vancouver director Mark Leiren Young, he's an occasional Georgia Strait contributor as well. He testified before the Senate committee about his concerns, and he says that Bill C-10 is a nasty piece of legislation and a really discreet form of censorship that acts like it's not censorship. So it's pretty much used to debate all government funding on the arts, which is a problem, a really big problem. And I think the right wing ends up using it all the time. And like
they're
they did with
past, yes.
Like they did with Young People Fucking, they basically said, we're not going to fund something like this without even seeing it,
mm-hmm.
having no idea what the script is about. And right-wing activists are using that same kind of culture wars, basically, that erupted in the States several years ago. So just to end with a quote from Leiren Young, it says, I'm not sure how Young People Fucking contravenes public policy. It's a film that has opened in festivals around the world. Contrary to what you might think from the title, there is very little sex in it.
And it's
kind of true. None of it is particularly graphic, yet somehow that is the movie that ended up in the center of the debate. And that's the issue when you have the, you know, activists that don't actually do all their research, which is actually looking at this film, as we spoke about in the first half of the show tonight, that really just talking about real issues that happen with real people in everyday life. And especially these days when I think the biggest controversy going on in the sexual world is that we're so inundated with sex stuff all the time and expected to be so sexual,
mm-hmm.
and our young people aren't getting any sex ed to help them navigate that in this world that we're immersed in right now. And also, you know, young people growing up and everything else, and even people coming out of long-term relationships, they're all expected to be so sexual,
mm-hmm.
and yet we don't have any information or empowerment about how to navigate the seas of that, right? And what this movie does is it talks a lot about those issues that are just coming up for everybody. And so it's really important sex education that's happening in this film about issues and topics that just aren't talked about in movies. the complications of sexuality are just never really described.
No, it's, you know, like the happily ever after. Exactly. And this actually talks about what happens the after. Mm-hmm. It's not just the, there. Yes, it does touch on first date and some of those issues, but there's so many romantic comedies where it's boy meets girl, that sort of thing. And interestingly, that is one of the things I do like of Sex and the City, which is another movie that's out right now that is doing quite well at the box office.
I particularly like that one.
I do too. And that one's a great one, but as we were talking about earlier, that one's mainly more geared towards the female perspective as opposed to...
Young people fucking has definitely got a good gender balance.
It does.
You know, in the straight, the part of the article too is just that they, some of the actors in the film were saying that they were shocked how well it captured the female perspective, but that they felt that, you know, even the men thought that it was really very well written for the men as well, and the male perspective, and very gender balanced. So, and I have to agree, you know, from what I know of a man in the world today. Just if I could finish my point about the complications of sex and not being addressed, the director's whole point of doing this movie is because these topics are not coming up in such a powerful medium in the theaters and movies. And I think it's so true. Society really needs to hear this stuff. We need to talk about it. And so many people don't seek any help. They don't look for any education. They don't know where to get it, or they're just bombarded with so much of it that there's no way to distill it down to what you can actually trust and utilize in your life. So, you know, they're so deep into shit by the time they actually seek therapy or seek answers to their issues that it's become a major problem. So this movie, I think, is a great sex ed movie, you know?
It's a fabulous sex ed movie.
Yeah,
I like
really.
It. And as you said, and I'm gonna recap on that point, is just that we're bombarded with pornography, there's porn addiction, all sorts of things, and people just don't start talking about the feelings. And sex is emotional, and that's one of the things they come back to, that it is emotional. There's no such thing as casual sex. And I don't know if you quoted that from the straight when you mentioned it earlier, but I really liked that point. There's no such thing as casual sex, whether it's because of the oxytocin where you get emotionally attached to somebody or whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no such thing. There's always emotion, emotion, and emotion.
There is, and I think part of, you know, the director talks about this as well, and I totally agree with him that there is no such thing as just fucking. I mean, it's just not humanly possible. We have ways of armoring ourselves and shutting our emotions off, for sure.
Definitely.
And, you know, we all have ability to do that as humans. I think we learn that as young children growing up to get more and more of that armor and more and more of that shielding of our feelings. But, and so we can turn ourselves on and off, a lot of us, or a lot of us might be just asleep, you know, like we don't even know that we're so crusty that we, you know, we don't even know that we have like such a huge sheet of armor, and that only us, only your own self knows how to unwield it, or sometimes people don't have a clue how to untie that armor or get through it. But you know, it's an unfortunate reality that we've built this stuff around ourselves to protect ourselves, but really it's just a blocking that you're doing. It's not, you know, honestly, I think when it comes to sex, there's just no way that you're not connecting with another human, and that it doesn't mean something deep inside of you or in a shallow way, but it's still a meaningful thing. So I agree with Young People Fucking's director, Martin Giro. He thinks he does a really good idea, a good point with this. And that's, I think,
it's not just
general
friction.
Yeah.
Or at least it shouldn't be.
So we talked about the first of the five tableaus in the first half of the show.
The first three.
The best friends with benefits, the first date with the coworker, and the long-term relationship that had bed death. So
now we're going
three typical things that happen.
And the third one is one that people are always... It's kind of filled with mystery.
The fourth one.
Fourth one, yes, you're right. The fourth one, which is threesome.
Yeah, there's the threesome. And this one was two males and a female, which is a little less common than the typical threesome, which is two females and a male.
It's every man's fantasy, apparently.
And a lot of women's fantasies, actually,
that
too.
That is true.
So in this particular tableau, the threesome, I think they have a totally infatuated early relationship going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of couples do that kinky kind of experimental stuff like threesomes in the early part of relationship because there's not a ton to lose yet, and you kind of have the courage to be open and honest and to say, you know, I like this dirty stuff, you know, pull my hair, do this, and oh, I want to see you with another guy. Like, people tend to have a little bit less to lose, if I can use that. So I think that these two are kind of in that state. They're very infatuated. They're totally in love. They're going to move out soon together, and they're living in an apartment. You know, the two guys live in the apartment, and he's got his hot girlfriend over, kind of thing. And
they make it a really interesting bon voyage where it's like, hey, do you think my girlfriend's hot? Do you want to fuck her? Can I watch?
Yeah.
And that was it, which was an interesting thing, too, where it's they were a little bit like, you can't touch my dick with yours.
And yeah, so there's a little homophobia going on.
A little bit there.
Sure.
And so it was interesting where I've never visualized a threesome where somebody would be sitting there eating cookie dough, watching and giving directions as to how. No, don't touch her hair. Grab her. Pull her hair.
Yeah, just do it. Just rip it. Rip that thing and just take
pound
her.
Into her. Which was very, very funny, but it definitely wasn't my, you know, if I ever have a threesome, it's not going to be something I really want to do myself.
It wasn't really my idea of a threesome either, but I did think that the man, the boyfriend, who was in the chair directing things, directing the action, I think that was actually a good way to get involved, because honestly, in threesomes, someone is always going to be left out.
That's
if it's
true.
For 5 minutes or the whole time or whatever it is. In a threesome, someone is going to be left out. I'm sorry. Our bodies do not bend completely in like half so that we can like kind of go in kind of some kind of a daisy chain at all times. Like it's just somebody's going to be left out. So energetically, you know, and threes are, that's the way it is. It's triangular, you know, it's kind of one of you has to, like, both of you have to kind of focus on one person at once. Mm-hmm. And then you all have to switch, like, every 5 minutes the timer goes on. Someone else's turn, you know, because it can get carried away. And then two people start to connect, like it happened in this movie. And then the other person feels totally left out and
like
gets ignored. And then the
upset.
Jealousy comes up. And then rightfully so, you know, you're in this threesome and all of a sudden you don't matter at all. And, you know, the people don't even notice because they're just hammering away at each other. And you're kind of like,
and I think
hello?
And you got to think
oh,
about.
Excuse me, I'm just going to leave and you don't even notice me leaving. Which is like, yeah.
So if this happens in real life, how do we fix this? So these are the Juice Box Girls' top three tips, which
that's
number
right.
one, figure out why you really want to be there. Communicate about this beforehand and set up that framework. So figure out what you want. Like, why are you there? Are you there just because you want to please the other partner? Or are you actually there because you really want to experience this? And if so, make sure that everything's comfortable. Decide if the third party is actually going to be engaged, where maybe there is dicks touching or there's anal sex. How much play is one person watching? Voyeurism. Whatever that is, discuss mm-hmm. it beforehand with all, especially the couple, but then as well with a third party. So then that way it's comfortable. Of course, number two, practice safe sex. I'm going to say that all the way through this entire thing. It's not one that we wrote down, but it is one that's really, really valid, whether it's a dental dam or whether or not you've got condoms there.
Yes.
Whatever you're doing, just really make sure you take care of each other, especially when you're bringing a third party into a relationship where mm-hmm. you're 10 to 1. If you're in a long-term relationship, hopefully you've both been tested. You know where each other is at. In terms mm-hmm. of any STIs, yeah. and it's really important that you know that, and if you do have STIs, that you're honest with the other person about it in terms of the third party who's
right.
joining in, and they're honest with you. But the best thing to do is just play it safe. It's the
right.
simplest way.
Because it can be a bit of a buzzkill in the middle of, like, you know, the hotness, and then all of a sudden you've got to, like, excuse me, you know, just start from the beginning of using safer sex. But mm-hmm. also in this communication thing about why or how or what and what's acceptable and not acceptable, that can also be a buzzkill, and a lot of people don't have those conversations, and in reality it doesn't happen. So I think the most important part is that the couple is very, very clear beforehand,
very.
Because at least those two are the ones that can discuss it at length before, and then obviously telling the third party the key points of where your boundaries are is the most important. Like, you can do everything else but penetrate, or you can do, you know what I mean? So there's not going to be incredibly horrible bad feelings that might happen that might be bad for your relationship in
which,
the end.
That kind of leads into our next point, mm-hmm. which is creating a stop word.
A safe word
that's
yeah.
just not comfortable, whether it's pulling on your ear where you kind of look at them.
I don't know. If somebody's got their face buried between your legs, you're not going to see anyone pulling any ears. But I think if you have like a safe word like purple...
That's true.
That doesn't have any of the sexual connotations in it at all.
Are you being sarcastic about that? Or are you thinking of a
cockhead? Do you think purple's hot?
Well, I think it could be the color of a cockhead, actually. Or if you are into
choking. Get me the purple dildo, honey. Your cock is looking so purple. I love that. You're like, what? Is that the word? You're right. Okay, fine. But some people would think purple would be a good one. Anyway.
But it's very important to do this so that you don't end up with somebody throwing orange juice at your head or anything crazy.
Yes.
Because of the fact they're jealous and they don't know how to express that any other way.
That's right. Someone chucking orange juice at you in the middle of a threesome is...
It would be very bad.
That's beyond
it's great
kinky.
In a film.
That's beyond kinky.
Unless you're into food and you're a foodie, but that's a whole other show, isn't it?
OJ is just sticky and it burns bits and it.
And to quote Samantha, in Sex and the City, there's some places that orange juice shouldn't go. You know, she's talking about
that?
Wasabi, but yes.
Oh, wasabi.
Which we'll talk about that more in another show.
Okay, so well before the orange juice gets thrown at your head in the midst of a furious fucking, or you're really pissing someone off, well before this happens, decide amongst the couple anyway, how is this going to benefit your relationship?
Mm.
And how might you do this beneficent stuff some other way beyond involving other parties? I always think people kind of jump to, like, when they have bed death or when they're kind of, like, trying to be, like, I'm going to be kinky and do something different. They jump to involving other parties and as kind of a first example, because that's what's going on in porn all the time, which is the main sex educator, unfortunately. So really, like, there's so many other elements to eroticism, you know, and, mm-hmm. and building that polarity that makes people really hot for each other, all that stuff. There's so many great books out there.
So many,
you know,
great
toys,
educational videos.
Like videos, like we said, like there's so many other avenues you can go. I think people are just afraid to take that step of like, okay, we've got some bed death going on. Maybe just a little bit, but, you know, let's spice it up, you know, or whatever. And everyone's like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want them to feel inadequate. So, like, you know, and so I think couples just avoid it. They just, like, avoid talking about it, avoid bringing anything in, like, avoid even getting a book, like, and going, hey, honey, look at this cunnilingus book, you know. Then you're going, oh, think I'm shitty at cunnilingus? Like, you know, it's just...
What's a way of doing it where it's constructive, which is why the Nina Hartley videos are actually quite lovely,
right?
Because of the fact it... Actually, they're actually really hot. I've had girlfriends actually rent them and masturbate to them.
I'm into masturbating to videos of all kinds. Oh, we're not supposed to talk about our personal lives. I'm so into talking about my personal life.
About your personal
I'm fine with that. Whatever. Anyway, okay. You don't have to, Caroline, but I will.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, so the fifth tableau of young people fucking we have, we're at the final
X-sex.
One.
X-sex.
The X-sex. I know you're waiting for it.
I have enjoyed this, and perhaps it's an interesting one.
It can be
couple,
so hot.
It can be really hot.
So hot.
Because it's somebody who knows
and
everything.
You know, yeah, you know what each other likes, you know which buttons to push, when,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't have to talk about all this sort of stuff.
You just know.
You kind of just know. And if you still have feelings for the person, X-sex can be...
It can be a little
especially
bit
lovely.
It can be sensitive.
And confusing.
Very.
So this couple were still in love. I couldn't really tell who loved the other one more or what was going on with their attachment, but definitely still in love.
Definitely.
And, you know, it was cute. She worked with his rapid ejaculation habit, which I call it a habit, not an issue, because it's very easily solved with men that have rapid ejaculation. Or premature ejaculation. I don't like to use that word either, but not an issue. Very easy to solve that one, gentlemen and lovers of gentlemen out there. You know, she knew how to work with that, which was really a sweet
yes,
part of their, of the tableau there. And then remember when they slowed down during their intercourse and she's like, why are you going so slow? And they're looking into each other's eyes and the falling in love.
Yeah.
So then they sped it up and did some doggy style, which I think is the most disconnected sex you can have, which is great. I mean, I'd love
exactly.
to do it myself, but it's very disconnected. It's like, do it from behind, do it fast.
And for those who are into tantra, yes, you start with the eye gazing, the matching the breath work and things
yeah.
like that, because it's one of the best ways to create intimacy. So if
yes.
you're with your ex, Nazi, our top three tips. Number one.
Did you just say Nazi?
No top three tips.
Okay.
No, not Nazi, unless you're into role-playing, but let's not just go there on this show, necessarily, considering we just had a German film crew in it. For those of you listening, we actually had a German film crew.
Oh, the
crew
Germans. Oh, shoot. Yeah, maybe they'll be listening to the rest of the show.
They're probably
killing themselves. I didn't mean that.
Hopefully
let's not talk
up.
About the war.
No, okay. That's definitely not. But one of the top tips, and I want to add one in there, in going back to safe sex again, when you have broken up with somebody,
uh-huh.
sometimes it's one an easy habit to fall into where it's because you know that person, you and even these two people, they discussed in terms of other people they'd been with. The fact is, they're not just with you anymore. They may have slept with somebody else. So,
and you don't want to know the details, and neither do they really want to tell you often. You know, it's kind of like, you know, just practice safer sex, right?
Yes.
Or it's tough. I mean, let's be real, right? These are the real juice box, real life juice box tips,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
And people... are not practicing safer sex.
No, because I think they're safe. There's that false sense of security.
Yeah, they're like, well, we know each other and we trust each other. And they would tell me if there was any issue. And the problem is that 80% of women don't know they have an STI and 70% of men don't know they have an STI. So, or sorry, other way around, 70% of women and 80% of men have no idea they have an STI.
70% of women, 80% of men.
There's no telltale signs that you have one. Like, you can have chlamydia for years and not have a clue. And same with guys. And gonorrhea, men tend to know a little bit better when they have that one, but women often have no clue they have gonorrhea. And, you know, there's just, it's same thing with syphilis. You know, it goes into the body, and like, if you don't catch it on the first round and you get the second level of it, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can brain damage.
Which is not exactly what you want when
herpes,
you're having
same
excess.
Same thing. Herpes, people don't know they have it often. They think it's an ingrown hair or something, right? So people don't often know they have an STI. So anyway, safer sex is a good idea.
Safer sex is always important. And number two, be honest with yourself and your emotions, your intentions, and your feelings. It's mm-hmm. really, really important. If it's been a recent breakup, you may not want to sleep with them right away.
No, that's not a break. That's messy ex sex.
Yes.
That's just really messy.
It's especially if
that's actually
crying.
Just staying together. That was just a bad fight that went on for a week or two or 2 months.
Pretty much.
You know,
You
need to give it some time. But
you need to heal.
Yeah.
It's really important. That whole, let's just be friends and have sex. It doesn't work that way.
No.
Especially with an ex. It's just not a healthy, safe thing to do.
At least one of you is going to be left brokenhearted.
Yes.
If not both. You know, and don't fool yourself into thinking you can get back into your ex's bed without some kind of, unless there's some revenge going on, without some kind of.
Like, I was going to say something nasty, which would be having not safe sex then if it was revenge, but I'm not going to advocate that.
Let's not encourage that in the world. What Caroline and I came up with was to be honest with yourself and your emotions, your feelings, your intentions before you go out on that date with your ex to catch up and see how each other's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Decide what you want to do before you go out, before you get together, because sometimes it gets all thrown out the window when you see each other. It's like, oh, the stars, you look so good.
And you forget why you broke up.
Yeah.
And so, you end up indulging in ex-sex even if you weren't planning to. So if so, really think about it beforehand. Make it a conscious decision, not just because you've had a glass of wine or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably add in here, too, don't drink alcohol and pretend, oh, I was so drunk.
Yeah.
And that's why you ended up in bed with your ex.
Right. And, I mean, I think you had a good point when we were having dinner and producing the show tonight, is that if it's not really appropriate for your relationship, if you're not one of those people that, you know, is kind of intimate and open and stuff, and you kind of engaging and communicating clearly and honestly about what you want and stuff isn't really your way, reading the body language, engaging how you want to go, you know, as you spend time together in the evening, or if things start to get sexual, if things start to change, like if you start to realizing, actually, I really feel strong feelings, like in this movie, you know, he starts to go down on her and her eyes start welling up with tears. I mean, that to me would be like, okay, my feelings are still really strong. And meanwhile, I'm telling this person that it's okay to, that the sex is just nothing, is not going to mean anything. Obviously it does. So then it's like, okay, well, you know, be honest and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this is going to be too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
and
is.
Then just close the date, you know, call a friend.
Which on that note, I did want to mention in terms of the song that we played at the break. I thought it was appropriate based on the going down scenes, which is You Suck, which I thought was very cute by Consolidated. I would have liked to have played the song that was in the movie that kept
which we can't
popping.
Remember. So
no,
people are going to have to.
We'll have to see this movie again. Which on that, I know it's hard to see this movie sometimes, but I think that all of you should. You should check it out. It's really great to support Canadian film and
definitely
really fight against that bill. It's really important to fight against Bill C-10. It's not a very healthy thing. It's kind of a little bit like Big Brother, according to moi, Caroline McGillivray, and Julia.
Well, you know what? I think this movie does an exceptional job of basically talking about the quagmires of communication that exist in every relationship, honestly. And in most of the problems in relationship is about
Communication
quagmire.
Quagmire. I like that word. What does that mean, Julia?
Just messy, muddy, like convoluted. And I think another thing about this movie is that it was sort of a vein throughout the entire, all the characters, was that they had trouble being honest. And I think that we have a lot of trouble being honest in our relationships.
I think we do, because we want to get what we want. And
we're afraid of being left or hurting that person.
Yes, we're afraid of hurting
fear.
Them, hurting us.
And it's not healthy. It's not healthy. It's not helping. We can see the trouble we're having in the relationships. People are unhappy. People are unfulfilled. And I'm speaking generally. There's some people that are doing pretty good.
Some
relationships that work really great.
But all relationships need work. If you ask somebody who's been married for 50 years, which I have a few times, what is it that's kept you together? Hard work.
And communication.
And persistence.
Communication. All right. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's Juice Box. Thank you, Caroline, for doing the show the last couple weeks. Fabulous contribution to Juice Box Radio. Love you for that.
Well, I love you too, and I'm glad to have you back in the box, baby.
Nice to have a break. So,
which we up next is Hans Klaus Miseria.
Yes.
Hans von Klaus.
Von Klaus.
Hans von Klaus.
Oh, very
it's
sexy.
Misery Hour. Because Marion is a very sexy man to be miserable with. What shoes are you wearing tonight? Let's have a look.
I think he's giving me a shoegasm.
Tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.